State of the art of thermionics. Thermionics is the boiling of electrons from a hot surface and the subsequent collection of these electrons on a cooler surface. Although this process has been used for several years in radio tubes, it was not considered for power conversion until about 1958. At that time, independent basic work with thermionic converters was reported by Los Alamos Scientific Laboratory, LASL, Radio Corporation of America, RCA, and General Electric Company, GE. Within a year or so, Los Alamos had performed the first in-core conversion of fission heat to electricity. Many companies became interested in this direct energy conversion scheme and started research programs. Government support of these programs began to build up in 1963 to 1964 and presently is at a level of about $7 million per year. Many government agencies have supported thermionics research, but during the last few years, as the first large application of thermionics seemed to be narrowing down to a thermionic nuclear reactor, the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission has become the major supporter of research. The present thermionic converters use two electrodes, one called the emitter and the other the collector. These electrodes are spaced about 7 to 10 mils apart. The inter-electrode space contains a low pressure, about 1 to 10 torr of cesium vapor. The cesium pressure is determined and regulated by controlling the temperature of an external liquid cesium reservoir. The cesium vapor is needed in the electrode gap to reduce the space charge and to provide control of the electrode work functions. The cesium atoms are ionized by both the hot emitter surface and by collisions with the electrons that are moving from emitter to collector. Because of the high emitter temperatures needed for efficient conversion, about 2000 degrees Kelvin, the emitter is usually a refractory metal such as tungsten or molybdenum. The collector is usually maintained at about 1000 degrees Kelvin, and the typical materials used are niobium, molybdenum, or nickel. The electrodes and cesium system must be hermetically contained in an enclosure. Also, the electrodes must be electrically insulated from each other, and the whole system may have to be insulated from its environment. The electrodes usually have either a planar or a cylindrical geometry. A typical present-day converter has the following output characteristics. Electrical output, 5 to 10 watts per square centimeter. Amperage, 10 to 15 amperes per square centimeter. Voltage, 0.6 to 1.0 volts. Emitter heat flux, 50 to 100 watts per square centimeter. Efficiency at the electrodes, 15 to 20%. Expected thermionic system efficiency, 10 to 12%. Thus, the important characteristics of thermionic converters are the high power densities, high direct current, and low voltage outputs. Most solar and isotope heated converters use a planar electrode geometry in which the cesium gap can be reduced to about 2 mils. This close spacing allows these converters to operate at higher power densities, usually 15 to 20 watts per square centimeter. These types of converters have demonstrated 2 to 3 years of steady and reliable output. However, very little work is presently being done with solar thermionics because the rapid advances in solar cells have essentially eliminated the competition of other solar-powered conversion systems. One of the general problem areas with developing a practical thermionic system is in the integration of the heat source with the converter. Fossil-fueled or combustion-heated converters have been investigated, but have not yet resolved the problem related to the permeability of the combustion products into the converter materials at emitter temperatures. The isotope heated converters have been limited by finding a suitable isotope that has high power densities, low vapor pressures, a chemical compatibility with the emitter cladding at the high temperatures required for high efficiency, about 2000 degrees Kelvin. Compatibility of converters with nuclear fission fuels is more promising, since these fuels are usually metal oxides or carbides, which have better high temperature characteristics. The primary emphasis in the U.S. thermionic program is presently focused upon in-core conversion, where the individual nuclear reactor fuel elements are surrounded by thermionic converters. Thus, the electrical output comes directly from the reactor core. The typical thermionic fuel rod uses what is referred to as the flashlight concept. It is composed of a stack of individual diodes connected electrically in series so that the output of each rod is about 5 to 8 volts. If each rod were a single converter, it might have to carry a few thousand amperes of current. Each diode in the stack is composed of the fuel, clad with the emitter material, a cesium gap, and a collector. The intercell region contains insulator spacers and the emitter support structure. Since a liquid metal coolant will be used to remove the waste heat at these high temperatures, provision must be made to prevent the converters from short-circuiting to the coolant. Thus, an insulating layer, a ceramic sheath, must surround all of the collector in the stack, and then a metal sheath must surround the ceramic sheath to protect it from the liquid metal. All waste heat from the diode must, of course, be conducted through this tri-layer, that is, the collector, insulator, and metal sheath. Each fuel rod has its own cesium reservoir that supplies cesium to all the cells in the stack, and since the reservoir has to be maintained at a lower temperature than any other part of the system, about 350 degrees centigrade, it must have its own cooling system. Also, provision must be made for venting the fission products from the fuel. It is obvious that the thermionic fuel element is a complex design. The early researchers recognized the problems associated with the complexity of such a reactor design, and especially the fact that it had to operate at such high temperatures. The required emitter temperature of 2000 degrees Kelvin is far higher than the fuel temperature of present-day conventional reactors. However, the researchers had the more pressing problem of first understanding the thermionic converter. From 1960 to about 1967, a great deal of work was done on converter plasma physics and on various materials that could be used as converter components. The understanding of the converter physics was greatly aided by the experimental determination at Los Alamos of the ionic species in the plasma and the electron temperature distribution across the diode. The understanding of the converter had progressed to the point in 1967 that General Electric had developed a computer code that was able to reasonably well agree with and predict converter performance. During the early 1960s, several materials were investigated as possible emitters or collectors. Emitter materials were concentrated on because their characteristics dominate the converter performance. Besides the refractory metals, various carbides and nitrides were tested. It was hoped that perhaps the surface of a carbide fuel form could be used, without a cladding material, as the emitter. Although some of the carbides had attractive work functions, it was found that they are unstable during long-term operation. Even when some of the carbides are cladded with tungsten, it will migrate through the tungsten and interfere with diode performance. The final result of all the emitter material studies was to decide to use a refractory metal. Tungsten is the most widely used emitter material and is usually vapor deposited with controlled fluorine concentrations and minimum impurities. Quite notable advances have been made with the techniques of depositing tungsten that gives stable converter performance and is compatible with reactor fuels over long periods of time. Presently being investigated are ways of preferentially depositing a certain crystal lattice face that gives better diode outputs. Tremendous progress was made in thermionics during the first 10 years after its birth. Most of the important aspects of converter physics are now well understood, and techniques have been developed to build high-performance, long-life diodes. Electrically heated diodes have demonstrated stable lifetimes of over 3 years and are still under test. There are still many areas of diode physics that need investigation. For example, the utilization of surface or plasma additives, and the ultimate performance that diodes can achieve, cannot be predicted today. However, during the last 3 years, the emphasis has shifted from converter investigations to design and development of a thermionic reactor experiment. During the last few years, most of the thermionic work in the U.S. has been done by General Electric and Gulf General Atomic. These two companies have been working toward the development of a fast-spectrum thermionic reactor. Work is progressing at Los Alamos on a backup thermal spectrum reactor concept. Diode lifetime testing is being done in core with fission-heated converters that are prototypes of the ones that might be used in a reactor experiment. Small diameter individual cells, 1/2-inch diameter most typical of the ones that would be used in a thermal reactor, have demonstrated over 10,000 hours of life and are still under test. Larger diameter, 1-inch outside diameter, single-cell diodes have been life-tested past 4,000 hours. Triple-cell assemblies are presently undergoing life tests with a full-length thermionic fuel rod, about 10 cells scheduled to start tests this calendar year. The in-core thermionic converter testing has identified two major problems. These are the emitter swelling due to fission products and the fast neutron damage to insulators. Most of the diode failures in in-core testing have come from the swelling of the emitter across the inter-electrode gap and the subsequent shorting of the diode. Post-irradiation examination of these cells shows a Coke bottle appearance of the emitter cylinder. Solution of this problem is being investigated. For example, the typical tungsten cladding of 40 mils can be increased to constrain the swelling, or more effective venting of the gaseous fission products may alleviate the problem. Solution of the problem may involve changing the fuel form from the commonly used uranium dioxide to perhaps a CERMET of some type. The radiation damage to the insulators could be the more serious problem. All in-core thermionic reactors must have insulators operating at about 750 degrees centigrade in the highest fast neutron environment of the reactor. When the insulators, made from alumina, have been exposed to irradiations of the order of 10 to the 21st neutrons per square centimeter of fast neutrons, that is, of energy greater than 1 MeV, they expand from 2 to 8 volume percent. With an expansion of about 2 to 3%, the alumina insulators will crack and lose their vacuum integrity. The cesium can then migrate into the cracks, and the material will lose its electrical insulating properties, thus shorting the diodes. During the desired reactor lifetimes of 1 to 5 years in the fast-spectrum thermionic reactors, the insulators will be exposed to neutron fluences of greater than 10 to the 21st per square centimeter of energy greater than 1 MeV. There are at least three ways of possibly getting around this problem. One is to use another insulator that does not swell as much. Preliminary data on carefully prepared yttria, Y2O3, have shown no detectable swelling from exposures of 10 to the 21st per square centimeter of 1 MeV or greater energy neutrons. A second solution would be to reduce the power density in the reactor, thus reducing the neutron fluence. This, of course, reduces the efficiency and attractiveness of the thermionic reactor. The third solution is to use a thermal reactor or moderate the neutron spectrum of the fast reactor concepts, which would reduce the number of fast neutrons that cause the damage. The two major companies working in thermionics, General Electric and Gulf General Atomic, have submitted proposals to the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission to design and build the first U.S. thermionic reactor. The AEC will select a contractor in calendar year 1970 to build this reactor. Operation of the reactor is scheduled to begin in 1976. The planned mission for a thermionic reactor is for auxiliary power in space and for electric propulsion in the 1980s. For power requirements in the 100 kilowatt to 10 megawatt range, thermionic reactors are highly competitive. Sophisticated thermionic reactor development programs are in progress also in other countries, for example, France, West Germany, and the Soviet Union. One of the most vigorous programs is the in-core thermionic reactor, ITR, program of West Germany. This 20-kilowatt reactor is being developed for use in a television broadcast satellite of stationary orbit. It will be a moderated reactor. This choice was heavily influenced by the small quantity of enriched uranium required. They have tested their converter single cells in core for up to 3,700 hours. A triple cell test will be started before the end of the year. Their presently approved funding for next year will result in a program that is larger by far than the entire U.S. program in thermionics. The French thermionic program has a funding level of about $1 million annually and involves a full-time staff of more than 60 scientists. Although they have not defined a time schedule for a reactor, all work is aimed at the development of a thermal reactor in the 50 to 500 kilowatt range. One of the unique approaches of the French is in the use of a graphite cesium lamellar compound as an integral cesium reservoir. This compound supplies the proper amount of cesium to the diode while at temperatures typical of collector materials. Thus, the special cooling required to maintain liquid cesium reservoirs is eliminated. More than 35 converters have been life-tested or are presently under life-test. Out-of-core diodes have demonstrated more than 6,300 hours of life, while in-core tests have obtained more than 3,500 hours of stable operation. A vigorous thermionic reactor program is also underway in the Soviet Union. Their progress has been reported at several international meetings on thermionics and power supplies. Their first reactor will be a zirconium hydride moderated reactor. They have completed critical assembly studies to determine the optimum ratio of moderator to fuel in the thermionic elements. The Russians contend that thermionic reactors are superior to other conversion systems down to 5 to 10 kilowatts. They have tested a thermionic fuel rod of 5 cells in series for 2,200 hours. However, they are planning to use 1-cell thermionic rods for their first core. The cells have 22-centimeter-long emitters and are operated at the relatively low output of about 1.5 watts per square centimeter. Higher power densities would result in large losses in such a long emitter, but the losses are acceptable at these low power densities. With such low power densities, the inter-electrode gap can be increased to about 40 mils, which greatly reduces fabrication problems. West Germany expects to operate their first thermionic reactor in 1974, and the Soviet reactor may be operating before that date. Thus, the U.S. may be the third or even the fourth country to test a thermionic reactor. References for this report. Report on the Second International Conference on Thermionic Electrical Power Generation, EUR 4210, Stresa, Italy, May 27-31, 1968. Published by the Euratom Center for Information and Documentation, 2 Place de Metz, Luxembourg. The IEEE Conference Record for the 1969 Thermionic Conversion Specialists Conference. Carmel, California, October 21-23, 1969. Available from IEEE in New York. D.S. Beard, Thermionic Fuel Element Development. The 4th Inter-Society Energy Conversion Engineering Conference, Washington, D.C., September 22-26, 1969. Available from the American Institute of Chemical Engineers, 345 East 47th Street, New York. Another paper referenced in the same proceedings is by B. Devin, D-E-V-I-N, describing the French thermionic program and accomplishments. The final reference, E.W. Salmi, Design Considerations for Thermionic Space Power System, Transactions of the American Nuclear Society, Winter Meeting, San Francisco, California, December 1969. Date, Dialaxis Technical Education is an IEEE educational activity. If you need a copy of the reference list, send a self-addressed envelope with the title of this report to IEEE Headquarters, New York. This report on thermionic energy conversion prepared by C.E. Backus, Arizona State University, Tempe, Arizona.